Well, hello everyone, this is Sylvie Avery and welcome to Spirit Work, the metaphysical and spiritual information show designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. And on today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and today we are going to have, it's open questions basically, but I will kick off the program with some questions that I've already got from some listeners that have previously sent in their questions to me, and this is something that you can do, especially if you're only listening to the archive and you can't get to phone in your questions on the day. You can send an email to me at enq@spirit-teaching.com and I will ask your questions for you. If you've got a lot of questions, you can actually say, well, you know, this is actually a huge topic that I have here, and I can make the whole show into that subject, so I can do that too. So whatever, just get in touch and I'll get back to you. And you can actually phone in on the program today. It's free phone. The number is 877-876-5227. That's the USA. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222, but that last number isn't free, but it's only a quick call.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Mick Avery, and as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, which is 6 p.m. GMT, we have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching. You can hear it on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 4 p.m. PST, which is midnight GMT. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go to visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com, also at www.mickavery.com, and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com, of course. And, as Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium. And each week, live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my physical body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through. And I know absolutely nothing about what has happened or is happening during this time. I kind of go into the deep trance state. My conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back when the spirit communicator leaves at the end of the show. I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was that they took me either, because if I did remember every time and I kind of like get to be nosy about it, I might then fixate and that would just destroy the whole thing, because I have to have a completely absent mind when I'm doing this. That's actually not that difficult for me, apparently. Because there's not a lot going on in there. That's my job. And without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie. And she's going to take the whole of the rest of the show. And it'll be her energy that is used to enable this whole communication process to work. Okay, so thanks very much.
Okay. Bye now. So I'll just tell you a little bit about Gregory and the group while Mick's going off. Gregory is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. And they consist of many great minds as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because there is a need for us to have understanding beyond the constraint of our human minds. The subject matter we cover will hopefully help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, as well as your continued life after physical death. Our mission is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit and to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others, restoring the balance and the well-being of the planet in the process. So, like I say, if you have a subject to do with metaphysics or anything, anything really that you, even if you're not sure, just get in touch with me and I'll get back to you. The Akashic readings that we do those on the telephone, so you can have one anywhere in the world that you are listening to me now, then we can do that. So the Akashic reading is actually a spiritual reading about your life pathway, about you as an eternal being, and maybe your gifts of spirit and your soul group energy and that sort of thing. Basically, lots of things you can find out that about from Gregory that you probably wouldn't be able to in any other way. They are really, really fascinating, and you can have it the same day recorded on MP3 download, or you can have it on a CD. And if you would like to find out more about that, go to www.spirit-teaching.com onto the Akashic reading page. And once again, I can get let you have more information about that if you want to get in touch. Okay, well, I do believe Gregory's with us now.
With love and light, blessings be, dear friend. Hello. Hello, little bird.
Hello, Gregory.
Hello, friend.
Okay, well, I have some questions to start us off today from Dave in the southwest of England. And it's a question about you, Gregory, this first one.
Oh, very well.
And it's a question of identity.
Yes.
He says, do you, Gregory, consider yourself to be Gregory Hay, the identity you had during your physical Earth experience, or do you consider this as part of your experience as a spirit and think of yourself as Gregor, as I believe your identity was Gregor from when you were first plucked from the Well of Souls and joined your soul group?
Yes, that is quite true. I suppose, in a sense, I consider myself as both. Gregor was, in fact, long before, of course, anything even uttered about humanity. So I suppose in a sense you could say that all of my yearnings, all of my attraction, the whole situation I have built up through the eons of processes of relationship, loving, and being able to nurture oneself within the beauty and the atmosphere or mass of the spirit world and of the universe, in a sense, is such a long journey within itself. I suppose, in a sense, I could say I am, of course, Gregor and no other being. However, I do have to say that because of the journey that I had, short though it was, upon the physical earth, Gregory Hay has a certain essence to myself that I, in a sense, really am that much divided. Not that it brings any kind of disquiet to my spirit, or that I feel that my spirit lacks any luster because of the fact of my journey in the physical side being so short. I feel myself as though I gave good account of myself, even though I had limited years of experience. And even though some or many experiences that many beings have had, perhaps had they lived a full year of 70 or 80 years, or 70 or 80, however that manages to manifest itself. Some people, in fact, I understand, have had a human physical life of 150 years. It may dawn upon them that a great part of their life was shared in beauty and love and interest and of surroundings that they had seen and imagined. Perhaps some of it is to do with the interplay within the consciousness of those imaginings. I myself remember some dreams vividly, and yet others are lost to the crown of sacrifice or the burgeoning physical life. I see myself as Gregory Hay, but also as Gregor in so many different ways. We are at one, really, and yet it appears to be that there are parts of that which I was, Gregory Hay, which actually bear no resemblance to Gregor itself. Perhaps to do with my little mood swings and changes in mood that I had as a child, the crustiness of which I belatedly argued with my father and such. And yet I still remember fondly those moments of when we were actually enjoying and really in good response to one another. So these are, in a sense, parts of the mark, if you like, of how I was as a physical being, my conscious state, yes, and all of the excitedness and the way that I interacted with physical life. That, too, is a great and ingrained memory for me, and something of the like I had never perhaps thought of experiencing as a spirit individual, and yet I had. It all seemed so familiar.
What was Gregor like then?
Much like me. I am Gregor after all.
Well, I know.
I haven't altered myself, for the passage of time of being Gregory Hay has not really altered that which I was, Gregor. That's what I'm saying, in a sense. It's just like a small facet of myself.
Okay, but being a human physical being, you,
yes.
This means that you develop a personality.
I had a personality before.
Exactly. So what was that like? That's exactly my point.
Gregor's personality before I, Gregory Hay, had a physical life was something that had a great deal of patience, much more than I have now even. Gregor, in the point of fact of consciousness, was and still is a being who has great tenacity, great yearning toward helping others, far more even than I do now. It's almost as though, friend, in a sense, that being that I've had a physical journey, there are certain parts of me that I wouldn't say that I loathe the physical state, but that I feel, in a sense, that there are so many imperfections of the physical state that I feel that within the observations that I have had have brought me into crystal clarity of how I have seen the march of what is a physical being in the conscious will of it to do with humanity, that as those beings move forward and they make such disastrous justifications for themselves and their actions, that is something that I'm seeing in far greater clarity as Gregory Hay, and that have been asserted upon Gregor, my spirit.
Okay, well, that's why we're doing it, and that's why other people who are on their spiritual pathway and in service,
yes,
to humanity and the planet are doing their light work, or whatever you would like to call it.
Yes.
So, yes. Hang on a second. This is weird, because obviously I want to explain this to, because this affects everybody.
It does.
I mean, it's not just a peculiarity to you.
No,
is
indeed
it?
Not.
So
no, indeed not.
This is the situation that can be for any of us.
Yes. Now, for example, then, friend, I can see that as Gregor, I had always had not an attitude problem. I always had a real understanding that I wanted to be clear. I wanted to be clear about everything that I felt, saw, sensed, heard, and respected, creating, in a sense, a kind of emotional twinning with the event I was witnessing. But at the same time, that even though it may have emotionally affected me, or this is wrong, or that is wrong, I would find myself making a judgment, but not out of turn, in a sense, almost as though I had seen in past representations of human behavior, as I had studied it long before I had a physical life, that I felt myself as though I could never make those mistakes. And yet, when I had physical life, when I was Gregory Hay, I made the same last mistakes.
Yes, I'm sure that's something that we all did, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, let's face it, you know, coming here, we probably did think, well, that's okay, I won't do it that way, I'll do it this way, I'll get over that, I'll get through that, it can't be that bad. And until you're here, you know, you find out that it is. It's like, I don't know, going mountain climbing or whatever. Yes. You don't know until you've actually done it.
And you would not know what the rock even feels like,
exactly.
Or whatever it feels like to actually be hanging off of something.
Yes, because if you're looking at fish in a goldfish bowl, it's obvious, you know, well, I would just go around that one next time, you know, or whatever, and avoid this situation totally.
Yes, yes.
But you come here totally unarmed.
In a sense, yes.
Well, you do, because you forget it all.
Yes, of course. Yes. Absolutely so. I know that there are many people who would say, oh, yes, but I haven't forgotten anything. I have had these lives and best lives and all the rest of it. But that's really, in a sense, creating not a carbon copy of themselves. That's taking themselves out of context.
But you knew that you were going, we all knew that we were going to forget it when we had this life. When we elected to have this life, we knew that when we actually had this life, we wouldn't be able to remember the information and the way that we had possibly educated ourselves about the life on Earth, shall we say.
Yes.
How it works with cause and effect,
yes,
for
yes.
instance, and that sort of thing. And
that's right.
You know.
That's quite true.
So.
Yes, that information isn't actually carried with us.
No. So it's a bit of a leap of faith, really, isn't it?
A leap of faith. Would then denote, I suppose, that you wouldn't know particularly if you were concerning about destiny. Yes, I would agree with you. However, because you never know the eventual outcome other than that eventually or at some point you will pass and you will return to our side of life. That's really the only complete conundrum resolution that is depicted. The actual journey itself is not released. I know that there are many on your side of life will say, ah, yes, but it is, because all is under synchronicity, and so therefore the pathway is unique and yet failing to comply with the fact that there are certain energies at work that constrict you into your pathway or into your mode of change. It's part of the reason why it has always been that within the country of India, for example, they have had that strict religious caste system that have kept people tied to their specific caste hierarchy, which then enables them to only filter within the life that they were born into and not anything else.
Okay, here's another one for you, because you've said that you've had lives on other worlds. I mean, we've done programs about that, about you being a different sort of type of being on a different world, because obviously that was akin to that world, specific to that world. At what point, then, do you relinquish such an identity and take on
Another one.
Yeah.
Think that this is actually an interesting point, really, because then, of course, human beings, people, would really want to know, well, how long have I got to hang on to this bunch of consciousness before I can finally let it go and then move on to something else or return back to the more purified form of self, which is of your previous spirit conditioning. Does it mean that your spirit conditioning will always be transformed by the latter conscious physical life that you have had, and therefore perhaps it may even remain as a blight upon your spirit? Well, that certainly wouldn't do, would it? The point is, I am making here, is that if you had had then a physical life and you were a murderer or something else, that had happened in the physical life, would it then mean that you actually circumnavigate all other responsibility and that you are simply ad hoc to this whole situation of consciousness, that you then as a spirit can never reveal or bring into revelation any other part of your dutiful, beautiful journey as a spirit? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It does mean that by the process, not of time constriction, not of the way that you and everything else you're associated with in physical life is to do with time as evaluated in your state of life. It's actually to do with the processes of acceptance of your consciousness. So that means to say that as this spirit consciousness, your consciousness interacting with your spirit, it may not actually happen to begin with because you took someone else's life. So it may be not as a passage of time as you know it, but as a passage of gradual realization or none whatsoever. So there it be then. Your spirit may well be languishing, waiting simply for your consciousness return from your physical life endurance, and that what's actually happened is that you've created some failed pathway, negativity, gross misconduct, poor judgment. All of these things, the issues and essences of mind continuum within the emotional journey and the emotional field you have set up because of choices or situations you made or that were made to you by others. This means that gradually, over periods of realization, not time, but realization, you will amount to understanding that segments of your journey were created by certain foul deeds or practices, illuminations or imaginings, creation in your pathway. They're done. They're past. You can constantly visit them as a consciousness if you wish. And it may well be that there are great elapses during and between each illumination of consciousness. Lapses, there is no time, so how could this be? In the spirit world, there may well be conditionings whereby the being themselves still contribute to time and the fields of their existence, so that they actually think they're still immersed in the passage of time of conscious physical earth, even if they're not. So that means the spirit waits patiently while their coat of consciousness, the physical life, continues to ebb and flow within and without these different states of mind, these different states of illumination. Can I accept I was naughty? Can I accept I was bad? Can I accept I was negative and created mass historic illuminations in my life that I must beg forgiveness for? All of this is true. So it means that within these stages of compromise your consciousness makes, that you gradually illuminate your pathway through the understanding and through these codes of conduct of your own spiritual revolution and revelation that comes as knowing to your consciousness. So that, in other words, you come upon an idea as a consciousness. I feel that was wrong. I feel that pathway I took was in error, and I must make some kind of restitution for the errors I made. This is not to any probing or prodding from anyone else. Not from God or akin or angels, not from those of ancestral knowledge of your own soul group or any other group. No wit will have it except your own. This means that revelation is uncompromised.
So you say that soon, so once that thought happens, there is a transformation in your energy.
Even if it's a small transformation, it's a transformation nonetheless. it then brings you on to the next one. Oh, I see.
And then you become aware of more.
Then you become aware of more, maybe even aware of more as the pain of which you have inflicted. And then you think, well, but I must then make recompense to those I have harmed, poor fellows. And then you move your energy into that description. It doesn't matter if you don't, because you'll just stay where you are.
And you're talking about bad deeds here, though,
I am talking
you?
Specifically okay. about this so right. that human beings in the physical state can relate to it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
But we're not talking about little things that we've done during our life. Basically, we've led an okay sort of life.
Yes, basically, yes.
Yeah, and we've done things. Then that's not the way that that works. But we will have to address them at some point, but not in this way, because we will be a conscious being before this happens.
Yes, that's quite true.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
If you have already begun illuminating your pathway by spirit contact, then that means to say you're already so far along in the vibrational states and in your way of reflecting upon your still now perhaps misguided physical journey, but that's something that you are beginning to make recompense for already by your actions, activities, by the way that you think, the way that you attract love to oneself, the way that you give oneself without condition, unconditional discharge of service and of love to others. This is simply a way of continuing that continuum of practice that enables you to actually nullify the energies you created perhaps previously in your physical life.
You see, there might be people, negative, very negative entities, energies,
yes.
consciousness, that do bad things on this earth because they feel hard done by, because they think that all of these people that don't feel anger like they do, it's because they are actually okay and they're lucky and they've got everything they want in life, maybe looks, maybe money, maybe whatever. So they might actually feel that on the other side as well when they pass. So they still are angry at other people and not actually realize that, well, actually, all of that is null and void now, that all you have to do is find love within you and you can actually progress yourself.
Yes, that is perfectly true.
Do you know what I'm saying? But
yes,
until you have that, they have that first thought and let go of the anger, they're not going to know that, are they?
So no,
are there,
that is very
are there
true.
People that can actually mentor them, obviously if they're not too of a lower vibration, are there people that can mentor them? Because this was another question as well.
Yes.
From somebody.
Yes, absolutely so. So my point then is you're quite right. There are others who then may well be attracted to the energy of someone who created negative pathways within their own life or within the life of others whilst they were having a physical existence. This may well mean that beings who created similar pathways during their physical life experience but now reside within the spirit world, having completed it, they too would have had to have gone through that form of behavior and come out the other side. So illuminating their consciousness and enabling their spirits to move on with their coat cleaned, as it were, their coat of consciousness cleaned of their impurities they picked up whilst having a human physical life experience. And this is in exact same state of what would happen to anyone who comes to our side of life with great negative propositions that have happened to them.
So is this the same if you've had a life on any other world, that this situation is the same, this recovery situation, shall we say?
Yes, if there are any situations or conditions of gross negativity or even slight negativity, there will still be certain interactions which happen between yourself and others, maybe from your soul group, usually, perhaps, however, from beings who are not necessarily of your soul group, but of a similar identity because they did the same kind of, went through the same kind of process. And they'll be just naturally attracted to you. Not that they are attracted to you because they're still negative, but actually because they've overcome it. And they recognize the conditions that you may be suffering from, that your pure, beautiful spirit is suffering from in having such a dirty coat upon them, you see?
What makes somebody have a particular life? Okay, you've chose to have a life on Earth. You've had life on other planets, and many other people I know have, because we do the Akashic readings.
Yes.
Okay, so is there any specific order of preference or merit, or you should do this before you do that one, or whatever, you know?
No.
There's not?
You can, no, there is not.
Okay.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
So the point is, the process isn't that way. It's not that spirit, when first moving away from that which is the conscious creation of all, or the source of all life, or however you wish to regard God to be, it's not, of course, the image of humanity, but is a different kind of, not even singularity. It's such a complex question in many respects, and not something that I can divulge in even one or sentence or hour or day or year even.
Well, Dave, there's a question from Dave here.
Yes.
I remain confused about who I am, in the sense that I am conscious of living on Earth, and hence this is where my consciousness currently lies, and the limit of my awareness, and yet I have a spirit. Or does the spirit have me? Am I correct in believing that the appropriate growth and beautification that I, my consciousness, may return to my spirit and become one?
Yes, I am therefore I.
Yes.
Quite so. My point really is that the spirit does not have the physical journey, nor does the physical journey have spirit, for spirit remains in the spirit world. It would be different if the spirit actually came and had the physical journey and there was no separation. Yet there remains separation continuously and contiguously, simply because of the etheric bead. Means that there is a product of one which is physical life and a product of another one which is spirit, because there is separation, being that the etheric bead exists at all.
Okay.
If it did not exist at all, then you would say I and I.
Okay, we need to explain the etheric bead, and we need to explain the spirit in connection to the physical body.
Yes, so in other words then, friend, at the point of inception, that is when two cells divide in the beginning of physical life, you would see that the situation, the condition, ignites. And at that point of ignition, in the physical sense and terms of it, microscopically, what happens there is the point of ignition, which is a kind of a blue aura, is at the point of where you see the etheric bead join with those two cells. And the etheric bead is something of a point of attraction that comes from the spirit in the spirit world. So what's this then? It means that there's a kind of a protrusion that comes from the spirit, or an energy that is sent from the spirit? Yes, it's a kind of an energy which is only a quarter of a micron across. And a one quarter of a micron across means that it is actually quite large, but that the connection itself is only very slightly opaque to a million millionths of a degree. So you wouldn't actually be able to see it hardly with any form of instrument that exists on physical Earth. And yet it is seen, because it's the point at which the etheric bead actually makes contact with the two cells that create life, and that you see the aura of life as those two cells and the etheric bead meet and make that ignition. It's actually the aura of the ignition that you see, and the aura of the point at which that duality is creating. So, for example, it's like as though you were watching, waiting for the aftermath of an explosion or of an act, shall we say, that it was something that was set afire. That would simply mean, dear friend, that your setting of a fire was that you wouldn't actually see the match, but that you would see the glow that came from the match after it was lit. That's, I suppose, the best way for me to ascribe it. And then it's an energy which has a beginning and an end. The end is at the two cells. The beginning is at your spirit. So that means to say there is a distance. They're at the very moment of at, when one and one meet. Yes?
Okay.
Means that there is a division of one and one, simply because there is distance. Not distance as in physical distance, but distance as in dimensional distance. That's distance too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yeah.
Because the dimension means that you are fluctuating energy at a different polarity. The polarity of energy, which is spirit, is pure. Therefore, its vibration is a million times more, or 3 million times, I cannot put a figure on it.
Mm.
More than that which is physical being. And yet, at that point, physical being is absolutely almost on a par with beautiful physical spirit.
Okay.
Interactivity, which would be, is this physical or is it spirit? You see? So that's partly why it is that when you are seeing the illumination that happens during this fertilization and also the access which is created by the etheric bead, you are seeing this flash of light purely and simply because of the ignition process of proximity. It's to do with the law of proximity between different dimensions.
So the spirit, so you are a spirit, and a spirit being has an etheric bead.
Yes, which isn't constant. It's only constant when having another form of existence, sharing another form of existence in a different dimension.
So you would have an etheric bead attached to you as a spirit being, having a physical experience on another world, planet, whatever.
And that would always be the case.
Right, okay. So it's a form of, it's a link.
There would not be another way for spirit to manifest itself into physical reality. It cannot, purely and simply because the vibration difference between spirit, purity, and physical reality simply doesn't make that manifest and change.
Mm. So the spirit that you are is stays in the spirit world because it's an etheric energy, basically.
Yes.
But attached to you, the physical you.
Yes.
Having the earth life in this instance. Okay?
I have to say, however, that at that point, it may well be that your pure, beautiful spirit actually comes through at certain points within your lifetime physical experience.
Okay.
Purely and simply, maybe even just as the energy of your spirit illuminating through the pores of your skin, shall we say. And that is what some people refer to as a person's actually glowing through their skin. It's purely their spirit energy because they have illuminated their pathway through knowledge, understanding, affirmation, service, love, emitting from self, which creates that abundance and change in resolution, vibration index of their physical journey.
Okay, well, let's move on to this because, so basically then when you are born, when a baby is born, this is why you say that all children really are born mediums because they have the access to still communicate with their spirit in the spirit world at that point because there's not been any form of negativity or any other persuasion of any other type to counteract that out, to block it out, so that they can actually see, Well, you've said that before.
That is hopefully the case. I wouldn't say that that is a common.
No, okay. We won't talk about third world countries and children in that respect, and, you know, because that's going to be slightly different. Okay, a normal average everyday birth child is born, etc. Okay, let's just go with that. So then, if a child has a, and obviously if the child is very much attuned to their spirit still, okay, forget seeing spirit people and all the rest of it. Let's say they are attuned to this spirit aspect of themselves that is still attached by the etheric bead, then they will be maybe, they will have access to more information.
That is true.
Won't they?
Yes.
And if it's not driven out of them through their life's experiences, then this can be part of the thing, the explanation of crystal children and that sort of thing.
Yes, that is quite true.
Yeah.
However, I do have to say that at this point, sometimes these are subject to interpretation by the physical being's journey.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean to say that necessarily the resonant frequency or the information from the spirit is passed on intact, but may be diversified by that child's other knowledge or by its other interactivity.
Hmm. Okay. But if that child was, shall we say, a good musician in the spirit world.
Yes.
I mean, and this is it, folks, you know. I mean, this is everything that's possible. We didn't just learn it here. This is
just four things
that you did before.
Yes.
Okay. Then if the child has a good link to that still, then it will be able to do that. That's my point.
That is true.
It can have access to that stream of consciousness, shall we say.
Yes.
The harmonic is still there.
Yes. Where did that child get that from?
Yes.
It's a gift from God.
Yeah.
It's actually a gift of your pure spirit.
Yes.
So it is a gift of God.
In a way,
yes.
So hopefully, the best way to treat these children is quite normally and naturally, and encourage everything, not to encourage ego and that sort of thing, isn't it, really?
Yes,
so that they don't start working on a physical level too much.
Yes, that's true.
And all the attributes of negativity.
Yes, but part of it also, of course, has to be that would be the case for anyone. And the problem is always that these children tend to be singled out rather than the little average child who grows up in an average family. And how that child is going to access that information is always going to be the problem. And these are the children who are disenfranchised from their lives and have such problematics that occur and are created within it. And I have to say too, within much of the information that happens to the child is something which is created pre-birth, pre-physical birth.
Mm-hmm.
So it may well be, for example, the information that is brought across to the mother via the placenta to the child will actually still be accessed to that child.
Mm. Yeah.
Some, however, may not enjoy that kind of access at all. It may be that the consciousness is not illuminated in that way from that activity.
Mm.
So I cannot say that this will always happen.
Mm.
Right one.
Okay, but it's just a good insight into how the spirit works with the physical body, because it's very difficult for us to understand. You know, some people think that it's in our body,
in
our chest, in our wherever, you know.
Yes.
So this is a good example of how we say that if you meditate and go within, that you connect to your spirit, so presumably via your etheric bead.
Yes, that is quite true.
Hmm.
Absolutely so. And that's why we constantly not harp on about it, but try to remind people that this is a part of their own peculiarity, their own gem of understanding, their own jewel in their own crown, you see.
And all the benefits that you can get from doing that.
Yes, absolutely so.
Absolutely, yeah. It's good to put this
into perspective
and many different explanations and angles of talking about it, because it is a difficult one.
It is. It's so vast as well. Mm. That's the point. It's but what we want people to see and identify with is just exactly how the fabric of it works, so that they can understand, perhaps, in many different forms of reality, nothing to do with religion, but just to do with the factual aspects of what is between physical and non-physical entity.
Mm. Absolutely. Okay, I've got time for one more question, I think.
Yes, very well.
From Dave in the UK. I imagine that the spirit world is organized into different areas under different levels of vibration. So, for example, the halls of learning and the summerlands would be two areas?
Yes, quite so. Absolutely. But, however, accessed and bridged between each other in exactly the same way, friend, as how one person finds the halls of learning will be completely different to another. They may have been told, perhaps through some kind of different kind of access, perhaps one, when they had in their physical life, that you access the halls of learning in this way or that way, or perhaps not even mentioned as the halls of learning, but maybe something to do with their past lives or whatever. That, oh yes, well, you go to your past lives, you go up this staircase, find the staircase, whereabouts the staircase is supposed to be when you interact with the spirit world, heaven knows. But my point really is that on this kind of illumination, one sees that they're expected to interact with it in a certain given way. And oftentimes what actually happens when those come back to our side of life, that they're looking for the staircase that they were supposed to have interacted with in their conscious physical life whilst they were having some kind of out-of-body experience or some other spiritual ease, and that actually what happens is they can't find it. That then brings a great deal of aggravation to those souls who are in that way interpreting the access that they have or should have had. My point really is that the halls of learning here are not really within a certain aspect, given that it's not, oh, well, you'll find it within your own consciousness, it's this door to the right or whatever, up the staircase, along the hallway to the next door on the left. It actually isn't like that. These are simply mind games. The way of access is always, in any event, however you make of it, is going to be different each and every time. It won't be one particular route that is followed, purely and simply because the access is of many different points, depending upon where your consciousness is at that availed time. So it means to say that perhaps at one point where you enter it within the dream state, you don't actually realize where the door was when you walked through it, just simply that a door became illuminated. Not that it was one specific color, but it could be of any number of different situations. Maybe not a door on its surface at all, but simply an idea on it or an illumination that as you accepted it and walked through it, you suddenly found yourself, there you are in the halls of learning. In exactly the same way that you would interpret perhaps the Summerlands as being a certain ideologue, a certain institution that was supposed to then be of a fabric of a place or of a being. You see, when I first came to the halls of learning, friend, I did not experience what or know what I was to experience. I just simply saw the small door in the tree, and there it was, illuminated. What was this? I asked my mother. Just open it, she said. But I can't open it, I said, and it wouldn't budge. The door would not budge. It just showed itself as a door and would not budge. And then, silently, suddenly, I just had felt acceptance. Acceptance of... And then suddenly, I was in this open doorway. And it was blue inside and rarefied air, and my mother was on the outside. I could see both. Both the passage of the blue of the passageway of my heart, where I was to travel, and my mother at the other end, seeing where we had come from, I knew not. It was just a murky blur in the distance. It didn't entertain. I did not entertain it, just my mother's face, beckoning all was well. And as I turned to move and resolve myself into that journey, the door was no more, and I was melted through it, and became moving through the passageway, turning once again to see my mother's face smiling in the distance. Of a time and of a distance I had travelled, I knew not one whit of it, just that I had moved, I had evolved and gone that way. Therefore, I say to you, friend, that it's not of the resolution of the mind of what you think you say it. It's not, I am opening this book, this is a book of my life, of my another life, or of this life, or of that life. You cannot explain it as that. The immersion is what you make of it. Not that it's a book, but that it's you suddenly find yourself in front of this. That is like having a physical human interpretation. It must be a book. It's this. The thing that's the book of your life, the Akashic book, is such as this. And yet it opens itself and reveals itself in a multidimensional, multiplicit facet of itself. You can see only but observe certain parts of it or portions at any one time, for you're not of the right vibration maybe to see all of it. You see?
Hmm, I do. Okay. I'm just wondering whether we've still got time to do the other part of it. Okay, I will actually. There's another part to this question. We've got a few minutes left. Do spirit beings generally live their lives in spirit in the equivalent of towns or cities or communities in the earth sense? Like, as in close proximity to each other, that sort of thing.
Well, if spirit have been spirit all along and have never had physical existence, there are no towns, no cities, no dwellings, no space or place which is called that way home, but that everyone or everywhere is a part of that dwelling place. So it means pure spirit actually experience everything, all forms of place or dwelling.
Okay, can I just say...
And there are no boundaries.
Yes. Can I just say that, you know, I said just a moment ago, and you've talked about it before, that there is music in the spirit world.
Yes.
Spirit world, you can have people playing the piano and orchestras. That's to be in something.
Yes, possibly, or may just be created within the atmosphere of doing, or within the atmosphere of attention. It may be, for example, if you were a pure, beautiful spirit, and you were just in the state of bliss, you may then access something another being was creating, or a whole flood of other beings were creating. Something which accessed you because of its sublime quality, or its beauty, or its purity.
Mm.
Or the collection of emotion that was revealed by its blessing, by its illumination, simply within its pathway. How dare we as human beings or as beings who have had a physical life create or think of something as a monstrosity of one sense? I don't like that kind of music. I want some other kind of music. It's another collection of sounds that I don't like that kind of vibration. Yes, that's a perfection in a sense. But it doesn't mean to say that an angel would not visit someone who was playing loud music or or thrashing about or something like that, or banging of some kind of other obstacle or instrument or something.
Mm.
It matters not.
Mm.
It may be that it sounds a perfect intonation, like a massive gong or bell.
Mm. But people do live, they can live in communities if they want, can't they? They
of
can
course.
Create
absolutely
their
yes.
own community.
If that's what they want to do, yes.
Mm.
Of course. And it doesn't mean to say that you necessarily have to have had a physical life on Earth or anywhere else in order to live in a little cottage with roses round the door.
No, but you'd have to know about it first.
You could access it through the halls of learning. Mm. Maybe you might like to experience it that way.
Mm.
Of course you can. Just open the book and see.
Yes,
give loving energy to that book and ask of its contents.
Because people talk, obviously.
Yes.
About situations.
Yes, yeah, so, absolutely. So, yes.
I did this, I lived here. Oh, what was that like? And
yes.
Fascinating, isn't it?
Absolutely so. Never ending, in a sense. Yes.
Mm.
Beautiful illumination.
Mm. Oh, well. Wow. Yes. Okay, well, thank you, Gregory.
Love and light. Blessings be, my dearest friend. Thank you so.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you. Well, that's been great. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again. It's www.spirit-teaching.com. And my name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye. We'll be right back.